there. Welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. Today we are talking about A Mortician's Tale and the Wanderer, Frankenstein's Creature. So double hitter today. Both of these games were fairly short. It went over, I think, probably with both of them came in a little bit close to 4 hours of playtime. But here we are. We made it through it. With each of these podcasts, sorry, I just drank some tea, so I was having a little bit of problems there. With each of these podcasts, we have an intro question. We have, intros and an intro question. So that way, those listening can get to know who you're listening to. And the question always has to do with what we're talking, with the games that we're talking about. Tonight, we have a couple of options for you. One is, if you're comfortable with sharing, what would you like done with your body when you die? Or if you're not comfortable with that question, you can do, picture this. You wake up naked on an operating table, covered in stitches, zero memory. What's the first thing you do? Starting at the top.
All right, this is Franco. Actually, I'll answer both. What would I like done? Well, since considering Elvis has left the building, I would go with cremation. And waking up covered in stitches, zero memory, check Jim and the twins to make sure everything's okay.
Very nice.
Awesome. Thank you. And next?
This is Madeline. I'd really like to be cremated and then, planted in a garden or, with a tree somewhere. And if that's not an option, if we can find a natural burial site where you don't have to have a coffin or anything, they can kind of just wrap you up in a shroud and bury you in the forest.
Yeah.
That would be nice. If I woke up with no memory, naked, covered in stitches, I would probably be very hungry, honestly.
For sure.
Honestly, the first thing that come to my mind would be probably be starving.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Find a fridge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. And next?
Hi, this is Kevin. It was how you wanted to be treated when you die, or...
Yeah, what would you like done with your body when you die, or you wake up naked on an operating table covered in stitches, zero memory, what would be the first thing that you do?
The first one, probably cremation, and then the second one, I'd probably just find something to cover myself, because I'd probably be really cold.
Sure.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's
I'm usually like always have blankets. So I'm like, yeah, I'd probably find a blanket.
Good point.
Some pants.
Yeah, that'd be another good thing. Sure. Awesome. Thank you. Next.
This is Chris. I think cremation, just because I think the whole embalming and then being entombed in a cement thing inside the casket just seems absolutely ridiculous to me. But yeah. And if I were to wake up, I would think I would probably be looking for brains at that point.
Wow. Okay. Brain. Yeah. I mean, sure. Thank you. This is Steph. What would I want done with my body when I die? I mean, there was something that they mentioned in A Mortician's Tale that I was like, that sounds really cool. I'd be totally into that. But I don't remember what it was. It might have been like a green, like the green burial, probably. Mm-hmm. That sounded really interesting. I feel like there was something else too that I thought, but anyways, it'd be really cool just have something different done. That'd be nice. Just something, you know, unusual than just being. So yeah, a green burial or like, even just like, I mean, if you found like a good institution that needed something to do experiments on, then give me over to them, you know, like just, it's whatever. I'm not going to miss it. No one's going to know anyways. So yeah. Yeah.
And then she wakes up naked on an operating table covered in
and then I wake up naked and then I'm starving. So yeah, I agree with Madeline, going to get something to eat for sure. And probably just eating like everything. Awesome. Thank y'all. So let's get right into our chat, shall we? First, we want to talk about the Wonderer Frankenstein's creature, released back in October of 2019, developed by LaBelle Games and Art France. Publisher Art France. I feel like that's pronounced a different way. It's ARTE.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. A little summary. Experience the myth of Frankenstein through the innocent eyes of his creature. Make decisions and change people's view that you will meet on your way. Now, the myth is in your hands. So how are you going to end it? So these are shorter games. So, you know, I'm not going to go over like every little thing that happens. But what did y'all think about the nitty gritty, the controls, first off, for the Wanderer?
Reminded me a lot of the that Wombat game.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Paper Bird. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paper Bird.
This is very mobile game control-like.
A little simplistic, yeah. Almost, I was going to say, almost too much white space. In other words, it's like you've spent a lot of time trying to expand the whole palette to see where could I go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So spent a lot of time just wandering around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, I guess I didn't really have any problem with the controls themselves personally.
Okay.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did like the art style once it was revealed. I mean, once.
Yeah.
You know, oh, for sure. Yeah.
The art style I really had was it started to get a little annoying where you would click on something and then he would like overwalk to where you were and would cause the hitbox to disappear.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had that happen a few times for sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes like I would like there was a weird transition period between sometimes like between something happening and then you being able to click on something else again. Because sometimes like I would see the sparkles, like, and I especially noticed this in when they were sleeping or kind of staying outside the house of the family of the two kids and the father. That you know, there were times where the creature would, you know, like wake up from sleeping or come back inside that shed part that they mostly stayed in from doing something else. And then like, it would take like a couple of seconds. Like I would see the window sparkling and then I would go and click on it and nothing would happen. Yeah. Click on it again, nothing would happen.
You couldn't click on the window. You had to click near
it. Yeah. That was that was frustrating a little bit.
Yeah.
And then also in that whole scene, I felt like the cutscene of the change of the seasons went on a little too long.
Agreed.
Ugh. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I get that it's pretty.
Yeah.
But it would still be pretty going about five times as fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Were there any mini games that you liked or didn't like in the game?
Probably the town was probably the best part. The village up north was probably for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just was the most engaging part of the game for me.
Except for the music, so loud.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot of music.
Yeah, but yeah. I did enjoy the graveyard. The graveyard was an interesting little distraction. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The graveyard in the, like, by the church.
Yes. Although I had to back out of it and restart that because I thought I did everything, but the left hand page wasn't revealing in the book. So I was like, what's going on? So I reloaded it and found everything again, and there it was. So I'm like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I did have a lot of trouble. I did have trouble. Probably my least favorite quest was probably, or minigame, I mean, was probably the gathering the players in, like, what do they call it? The processional?
Yes.
In the town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to figure out the right order, yeah.
And I didn't quite, I mean, it did tell you. In fact, a lot of the mini games in that town, except for, like, you know, were a little cumbersome.
Vague. Yeah, they were vague.
And vague on on what you were supposed to be doing. And then, like, you know, the ones that weren't vague. I mean, the music one was fine, of course, but the kicking the ball to explode the balloons.
The fish balloons.
Did not work very well.
Yeah, it was really just, like, random.
Yeah.
I was trying everything. There was no, like, rhyme or reason to standing farther away. Does the ball go farther? You know, it was like I was trying to, you know, be logical about it, and it just wasn't helping.
That there was, like, applause that would get louder.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, like, when the applause is really loud, then you're in a good spot. But then, you also had to be facing a certain way for it to kick, and I'm like, I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty picky.
And it seemed like there were only certain ones that would pop too.
Yeah, you were left with two afterwards. That was weird. Yeah. Did anybody do the king and queen of the festival? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was nice. I discovered that, like, just almost by accident. I'm like, okay.
Really? I had trouble with that one because I didn't know who. I picked a couple and it was like, no, they're not a good match. And I was like, I don't understand. And I don't know if it was, could you tell which one you were supposed to pick or was it just,
no, picking, I got it.
Like just guessing.
Just guessing. Got it on the second try.
Okay. All right.
Lady in Blue, I think.
Yes. That looked the most like the lady that I met at the pier there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see. That makes sense. Yeah, and then, you know, there's a whole little love scene after that that was like, or at the end of the festival with that, you know, where she's like, unmask yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes further in the discussion about the game. But opening the safe to Frank in Frankenstein's lab was tedious. At first, I didn't realize I had to go look at a walkthrough to say, oh, you got to highlight the names in the story.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a bit. It took me a bit to catch on.
Yeah, and then, like, I didn't know what I couldn't figure out the right names. And the whole time I'm thinking, it's probably Adam and Eve. And it's like, I only have to look at a walkthrough, and I'm like, obviously, like, why didn't I just try that?
that puzzle was really obtuse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was trying everything before I saw, like I did with you, Chris. Yeah. I looked it up, and it said, Adam and Eve. Okay.
Yeah. And also the fact that it's like, I went and actually found all the names, but all you have to do is just find the Adam and Eve one, and you're done.
And that's
Yeah, because I was
pretty much, I think.
I was changing all the names, thinking eventually they'd all lined up with their individual partners on the screen.
Oh, man.
I was going nuts. Then I said, all right, got to find this, look it up.
Yeah. I still had a whole bunch of blanks on, like, four or five blanks on my little, I don't know.
Yeah, some of them weren't.
Many things. And I was like, I've looked at everything in this room.
Yeah.
Why are there still blanks?
Yeah, there was, like, two or three books. There's, like, two at the desk, two at, like, the fireplace, a few upstairs. They were, like, in all different things. And some of them you had to, like, click, like, the names weren't really obvious. So you had to click on them.
Yeah. I looked at everything twice, and there was still blanks.
There was like one book that was hidden down at the bottom left.
Very corner. Bottom left.
Yes, that was the.
But that was only a couple names. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them weren't pairs. There, you know, you obviously had Romeo and Juliet, Adam and Eve, and all the other pairing. But some of them were like just individual names, just thrown in on the side. Anything that was even resembled a name, you had to click on. It was weird.
Yeah.
I got annoyed that some of the text just went way too fast.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I was reading that. Oh, it's gone.
Go ahead, Madeline.
I felt like the whole time while you're at the house, hiding out in the shed and all the little stuff you do to help out the family was really, really slow and very obvious, and as a result, not very fun.
Couldn't catch the squirrel though.
Rabbit.
Oh, the rabbit. I'm sorry. I thought, what am I thinking? Squirrel. That's squirrel in the ground. Squirrel. But
yeah, I don't know rabbit. Any squirrels that go into holes in the ground, but maybe you do.
Maybe, yeah, you never know. They're crazy squirrels.
Crazy squirrels. That was really the only thing. I was just like, why did I suggest this game?
It's okay. Self doubt.
It's all right.
Yeah. Creep in.
Yeah. So what did y'all think of the going into the game itself? I didn't know. Did anyone? Maybe I'm just not. I mean, and this is completely okay because I'm not an extremely book smart person, but like, what did the chapter titles mean? Like, what was that? Does anyone know?
I think they were in French, and then they were all like different stages of his life, basically, like different things that he was little down that he was learning.
Oh, that makes sense. Because like Alba, and then Memore, Nature. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there were chapters of like the actual book.
I don't think so.
Frankenstein book. No, I don't think so.
But it seemed like it had to do with different stages of what he was going through.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So. That makes sense. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I think it might actually. It's probably actually supposed to be him when he gets to the cabin, because as you're going through, it sounds like he's essentially telling the story to you.
Did you feel like that there was enough freedom of choice? Like, were there times where you weren't, where there weren't choices that you wanted some choices?
Maybe at the very end, it was kind of binary, you know?
That's what I felt as well.
Yeah, I was also a little bit confused at the end, because also the thing disappeared really fast where he was talking about the choices. And I'm not sure if some of the earlier choices led to some of that stuff. Or led to what happened in the end.
Yeah.
And I think the titles were possibly in Latin. For all the chapters.
Yep, that's true.
Because, yeah, Industria. Because I remembered that was one of them. So, yeah.
Yeah,
and it kind of felt like the choices with Aphrodite on the clifftop at the end of the fair, they were kind of like, I wasn't quite, you know, it was like, geez, how far am I supposed to take this? You know, it was like, yeah, I mean, the option was always there to just leave at, you know, it's like,
yeah.
You basically got every single romantic, hopeless romantic option until you were forced to leave.
Yeah, which is, I mean, let's talk about all the endings of the chapters. If we want to jump ahead to that, it's like, they just, for me, just got more and more like depressing as you went along. It's like, this guy is not going to catch a break ever.
and that's the story.
Frankenstein's life. Yeah, Frankenstein's life. Yeah, he's not going to catch a break ever.
The monster's life.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I mean, I guess as far as like if we're going back to choices, like I do wish that there were. I kind of wish that it was more like instead of just two choices. Sometimes, I mean, I think maybe sometimes there were three choices. Maybe I'm incorrect, but I feel like that would have been a good thing for all of them. But then it kind of, some of your choices, like it felt like, what kind of going off what you were saying, you know, with the clifftop and the woman from the fair, is that, you know, it seemed like you have a choice until like, okay, like, well, you could leave, but then if you're wanting to keep this, but then it just makes you do what your other option was towards the, you know, this entire time.
It did that to me too. I didn't want to tell her that I liked her playing hard to get. So I chose the other one.
Yeah.
And then the monster's like, what? Is someone else controlling me?
Yeah.
And I was like, it's why is it an option if I can't pick it?
Right. Yeah. 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 So what did you think about the balance between following the story and letting the player make decisions for the creature?
I mean, it's fairly linear and I want to say futile, but I guess that's what it's drilling into you that, you know, he's pretty much on a railroad track that he's, you know, he's no matter. And I mean, it goes through every scenario with the kids and then the family with the blind father. And then, which always baffled me, why didn't the blind father say something when the children came back?
Right.
Say something. And then he didn't. So
he just stood there like,
Yeah, then I accidentally ended up burning down the house by retaliating.
Oh, shoot. Wow.
He retaliated by slamming the table a couple times, and then the candle fell over.
Did the family die?
They all walked out of the house, and then the creature just looked back and forth. It was like, what have I done? And then ran out of the house.
Wow, so at least somebody got... Because I did the pacifist route. I always roared. I never retaliated.
Same. Never retaliated. Never fought back. Never took vengeance. Just, you know.
And you still end up where you end up.
And then
at the church, to try and seek, you know, salvation or you know, holiness or whatever. And the monster's like, yeah, I do deserve this, and then everybody thinks he's Jesus for like
30 seconds.
One second. And then,
that
was probably
a demon. He wasn't a demon. He was a demon. He was like Satan incarnate.
I felt the worst for him.
I was like,
the statue told you can seek salvation. Like,
That was crushing. That was kind of like a little crushing for me. Yeah.
The one I asked about what year this Frankenstein was written because also due to, but this could probably just can be hand waved away to the fact that they would still be having mass in Latin.
Yeah.
And I think he does say something in Latin at one point, like the priest, but like it seems like they would probably be starting off the whole thing in Latin, and it seems a little bit like,
But yeah. They're also having mass in the wreckage of a church, so.
Which still somehow has stained glass windows.
I think it was more symbolic of what could be than a this is how it went.
Actual service. Okay.
Yeah. Did anybody pick to be like the other option at the church? Or I don't remember what it was like.
The graveyard option?
Damnation. No. Yeah.
I was curious to see if anybody did, yeah. Because that's the way I finally had to, after having to go replay it twice, and then I realized the left-hand side was the salvation side with the church and the stained glass windows. And the graveyard side, if you found everything on the graveyard side, that was the other one. That was the gray area.
I found everything on both sides.
Yeah.
Right. But then you got to choose. Do you want to, you know,
try the salvation route or the, yeah.
I feel like, I don't feel like that ever, I don't remember everyone treating me like Jesus for a bit, so I feel like maybe I chose the other one, but I don't remember what happened.
Oh. Well, when you chose it, were you coming out from the behind the window? Behind the priest?
I don't remember people being in the church.
Oh, at all. Yeah, if you choose the salvation route, they're actually about five or six people, I guess, I'm assuming priests, come to mass, and there's the head priest.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen to me.
Ah, you chose the gray one. You chose the grave choice.
What happened then?
I don't remember. Oh. I don't remember. I feel like I don't remember anything, which makes me think that maybe not, I mean, I think it was just like, you know, like there was some dialogue and then like, but nothing else happened. That's not that I can remember. I think like I chose that there was some like dialogue about it. And then like, I just left. I don't remember anything else happening there. Strange. So what ending did y'all get?
Well, did anyone create
yes,
another monster?
Yeah, in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of made a giant pile of charred
glue
body parts.
Glue. I think I abandoned it after.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. Because I came to the realization I don't want to have somebody just like that. I wouldn't, you know, having that done to me, I don't want it to be done to somebody else.
Yeah.
The ending I got, I'm pretty sure the last choice I made was accept my fate.
Mm-hmm.
And you just walk off into the ice flow.
Oh.
Yeah. I got the fourth wall breaking.
Yeah, I did as well.
Oh, really? There was a fourth wall?
Where you meet Mary Shelley.
Oh, yeah.
That's we all met. Yeah.
I met Mary Shelley, and then I, you know, had the long discussion with her and said, I want to accept my fate.
Yeah. And then.
Okay. Oh, for the ending?
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing, too. That
how many?
That was driving me crazy while playing the game. When you're going on those long walks through like the countryside and everything, you had to keep clicking to progress. Otherwise, once you got to the spot where you clicked, he would just stop and the music would stop.
Yes, that was a little annoying. And you had to get so close to the end of the first section for the roads to line up. You couldn't click all the way at the top and just say go. You had to wait for the roads to line up.
I hated the sailing part. Unless I was doing it wrong.
Oh, yeah, the winds. Yeah, that was pain. It was just swirly over the boat.
hot take. Besides meeting Mary, Shelley, my favorite parts of the game were the walking across those long distances and the sailing part. Yeah.
Unless you somehow did the sailing part in a better way.
That was fun. You just dragged it along and the wind just kind of took it.
Wait, you dragged it?
Yeah, you clicked and drug. You clicked and drug from left to right of the screen, and that's how the wind blew.
Oh. Well, they didn't make that clear.
No, they didn't make anything clear as far as controls go.
I just had to click like every 2 seconds and wait for the freaking wind to die down. And it, yeah.
So I met Mary Shelley at the end, and then she gave you, basically, you can accept your fate or you can basically forget, you know, forget that this happened. She's like, you're immortal. You come back to life anytime anyone reads your story. And for this version of your story, it's different every time. So the monster's like, well, or there's creatures like, well, do I ever get a happy ending? And she's like, that's not really how this works. But if you want to keep trying, you can. And then it goes deleting your game, which it wasn't. It was just saying that. But then it'll go through all of this like weird colors where it's like basically rewinding through what you played. Deletes all of the levels, it says. And then Mary Shelley, and then finally the creature disappears, and you're back at the load screen.
Wow.
What?
In the main menu.
That's wild.
Which I was like, I mean, it's okay. I accept this as an ending. Because in the novel, you don't know what happens to Frankenstein's monster.
Right.
He, you know, Frankenstein dies, and the monster says that he's gonna take his own life, but we don't know what happens. And
yeah, I think it basically leaves it at the ice cave up in.
Yeah, it leaves it. Yeah. He just kind of runs
off. Yeah. Mine was the companion, which was a shit show.
Oh, no.
You also made the companion?
Yeah, made the companion, got up on the freaking cliff. And was like talking to them, and was trying to be like, yeah, like we can find comfort in each other. Like my life is complete now that you're here, because there really wasn't a lot. Like the choices with that were like, you could either be like overly dramatic with like your affection, or you could be like, we're here to suffer together. And I'm like, listen. So,
wait, was that from only choosing the white side or the choosing the white side or the black side?
I mean, in between those, in between the white and the black side. So so it ended with, it ended with like being overly affectionate. And the creature just was not, the other creature was not having it. The companion you made was just like, you know, you are a monster. Like, I am not like you. And so eventually it's just like your choices start becoming more and more less romantic and affectionate and more like you're just like the humans. Like, I can't believe this. And then the ending was like, you could either choose the black or the white side, because like, if you get to that point, like you can also have the smaller choices, but then there are also like moments where it's such this black and white card. And so you choose like, and usually the black card was always like, we can suffer together. And then like the white card was like, you know, you make my life complete sort of responses. Mm-hmm. And then the very ending was you had a black card and a white card, but they had nothing on it. And so since the white winds were good up until this point, I chose the white, and the monster, the monster I was playing started like it zoomed out from the cliff, and the monster started like, my creature started wrestling with his companion, like started like, he like took a step towards her. And I think that they were fighting back, like trying to step away. Mm-hmm. And the creature I was playing, like you could see them kind of like reach out to them and like reach out to the companion, and like it seemed like they were wrestling for a bit, and then your companion just fell to the ground. And that was it. That was the end.
Oh my God.
The end.
Oh, oh man.
I was going through that, and then I chose the black song to see what the hell would happen, because I was confused as to what the heck would happen.
Yeah.
And then the white, your character goes and reaches out to his companion, and then like he was gonna like go and try to like hug them or kiss them or something. I don't know. And she goes and fights back, and they both tumble over the cliff into the sea below.
So it almost rather have that ending, because I mean, at least I was like, well, that was depressing. Like, so now my creature's alone again. Cool.
So did he strangle the creature?
I don't know. You can't see it. Zoomed out.
I zoomed way out.
Yeah, you couldn't really tell.
So yeah, weird.
I just wanted to add quick. The most frustrating puzzle was that freaking statue puzzle.
I liked that one.
I kept because it wouldn't let you take a piece. I got a chicken leg up there, and I'm like, no, I don't want a chicken leg up there.
Oh, as soon as I realized you couldn't take it down, I was like, oh yeah, I can make whatever I want. So I just went and picked up the weirdest bits.
Yeah.
And made it a really awkward.
I hugged it.
Yeah, mine had the head of Medusa, and then the other head. What I forget what the other head in hand was.
That was also Medusa's head.
Wait, there was two Medusa head hands?
There was a Medusa in the hand, and then there was also a Medusa head.
No, I thought there was two hands that also had stuff in them.
Oh yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, there's one that had the Medusa
head, and then another one that had another creature's head.
One had like a trident or something, and then the other had a snake.
Yeah,
I think one had like a bowl head or something. It looked like it had some other weird hand. Let me see. Let me pull up my one screenshot that I took.
The only thing that happens basically is you hug that statue till it crushes, right? I mean, that's what I did.
Oh, I stopped before I crushed it.
Yeah, you can stop it. I did not.
Oh, but nothing happens when you stop. It just walk
it's
away.
It's like the creature realizes that the plaque is not going to make the statue come to life just because it wants it to. Walks away.
Depressing story.
Yeah,
it is.
I can't.
He just can't catch a break.
Yeah. I mean, open for anything else you want to talk about with the Wanderer.
I feel like this almost more than the book is really like a metaphor for, growing as a race, like the human race, without any kind of like overarching guidance on what we're supposed to be doing with our lives.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the choices leading up to the end choices didn't matter as much. Which was kind of upsetting a little bit. I'm not sure if it would have affected some of the stuff with the old man if you had like decided to fight back in the town. Because he says that he believes you, that you weren't violent at all, but I'm not sure if like you decide to fight back, they go and like get upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I was a blind old man and there was someone who sounded huge in my room who said, "I swear I'm not violent," I'd be like, "I totally believe you."
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course you're not violent.
Sounds right. Yeah. All right. So anything else that we need that you want to talk about before we move into final thoughts and scoring for the Wanderer?
I wish the music game was frustrating.
the music game. Oh, see, I kind of liked the. I mean, it was a little bit slow. Yeah. And if you waited until the notes got to like right in the middle of it, the song stopped, like the music stopped. But you had to hit as it was just entering the little like.
Yeah, it seemed block. Like. Yeah, you would think. Yeah, the middle would be the sweet spot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was like it worked out better if you hit it just as it got into the note area. It was like weird. And I on the keyboard, I realized that the letters were actually the letters on the keyboard. So you don't have to. I was using the mouse at first, and it was like kind of iffy. It's the letters. Oh, okay. Now I get it.
I found the mouse to be actually better.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I when I first started trying to do it with the keyboard, I just failed immediately with the old man. And then the second time I did it, because I tried to redo that section just to redo the music part, but I couldn't just redo the music part, unfortunately, because it saves only at the end of the chapter, because it's stupid. So when I retried to do it, I got like two notes and then I failed. And I was hoping to see if I could get like a better answer and not just say, I'm a miserable creature. Rawr.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, let's move into final thoughts and scoring for the Wanderer. So I guess we'll just start from the top to the bottom of our list here in Discord if that works for y'all. So that would put you first, Frank. I'm sorry.
Visually really nice. Like the artwork. Controls were a little clunky. And the story is the story, so it's pretty, I guess, you know, true to the idea that's in Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. So it's take it for what it is. It didn't deviate, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd have to give it 7.5.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And Madeline?
I'm going to say a 7. I think it was very beautiful. I really liked having the focus be more for the story, having the focus be more on the creature and his experiences than on the creator, like the book is. I think that there were some mini games that definitely needed some revisiting. And I think since it was a short game, I was okay with having a little bit less branching options. So yeah, 7.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And Kevin?
Thought it was an interesting concept. The art style was good. Very, I guess, watercolor-y. The music was good, a little bit loud in some parts. Got a little bit frustrated that that the save points were kind of sporadic. But an interesting idea. I'm not sure if I'd replay it just because of having to sit through certain chapters again.
Sure.
6.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And Chris?
Yeah, I think they spent too much of a focus on the art, not enough on everything else in certain aspects. I can't say that I had a ton of fun playing the game. There were aspects that were enjoyable, but there were just other things that that happened that just kind of took the enjoyment out. But I guess, you know, in a way, that's how the story of Frankenstein's monster went.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It just didn't hit the right tone with me, I guess. And especially with the ending that I got, where it kind of breaks the fourth wall in a way, and you meet the author, and like that just kind of felt off and kind of odd. There were dogs in this game, but there were bad dogs. I'd have to give it about a 6.
A lot of what everyone else is saying, like, it was a bit difficult for me to get through this game. It just didn't have the pace that I like. The artwork was beautiful. The music was beautiful. There were certain moments that I really loved. Like, I loved the zoomed out countryside walking. I kind of agree with Chris, is that like it seemed like that they put some work into like the artwork of the game and into the music, but they didn't quite, they needed to kind of flesh, I don't know, like it was just very slow to me. And I'm not even sure that, I mean, the choices felt very like, which I guess like kind of goes along with the story, like the choices were really like moralistically like black or white.
Mm-hmm.
Very like, you know, to one extreme or the other. So, you know, that could be a bit frustrating because like, you know, I mean, usually people deal in gray. And so it was either going on too strong, like, you know, or being too dark. It was it's an interesting game that I'm not sure if it just wasn't because it just wasn't my style. Like, it was just too slow for me. But I'm not sure if it was like too slow in general, if it's just me as a player, not enjoying the pacing of it. I'd say all in all, given like, you know, there were some trouble with like hitboxes and the mini games and sometimes, and I would probably give it. No, I actually. Actually did like the Mary Shelley and the one I was like, yeah, I like this. This is weird. I love it. I'd probably go with a 6 as well. Yeah. All right. So let's go over into you can pet the deer. Nice. Let's go over into a Mortician's Tale, which is released over back in October 2017 and developed and published by Laundry Bear Games. A summary is, A Mortician's Tale is a story-driven, death-positive video game where you play as a mortician tasked with running a funeral home. Take on the role of recent funeral direction graduate Charlie as she learns the ropes of the business and industry. Prepare the bodies of the deceased via embalming or cremation. Attend their funerals and listen to their loved ones' stories. And interact with Charlie's co-workers, clients, and bosses. So what did y'all think of the controls for A Mortician's Tale?
Basic. Yeah, no big deal. It was an interesting, I mean, it only took me, I think, an hour to get through it. Examination, and I'll just share whatever that as I was playing this game, I said, man, I know a lot of this already because I watch a particular YouTuber who does a lot of great videos on this subject. And it turns out I looked at the Wikipedia just now for it, and it's loosely based on her.
Yep.
Interesting.
I'll post a link to one of her videos.
Caitlin Doughty from Ask a Mortician. She's one of my favorite people on YouTube for sure.
Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
That's wild.
So is she a mortician?
Yes, yeah. She is a mortician. She has.
Oh, so it's like an Ask a Mortician type of channel.
Yeah. And she covers every topic that has to do with death, everything. It's fascinating. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's appropriate. I would say the best way to put it, appropriate. It's she's a little lighthearted at times. She could, you know, put a little humor and things into it, but it's a good channel to watch, I think.
Does she also do other videos as well that relate to?
Yeah, she'll. So her sister is one of the docents at the Mutter Museum.
So that's how they relate the other girl. Yeah.
Yep. And so that, like, all the emails in the game, that's, you know,
that's basically based on her sister. Okay.
Yeah.
Do a video about some dam breaking in California.
Yes, she did. So sad.
So I remember I watched a video and I thought it was her. So yeah.
About the game. Sorry.
Yes.
Off track.
Bring it back. Yeah.
I only played up until. I only did the first three people because it's like I only had a few hours to play it before we had to do the chat tonight. So that's as far as I got.
Sorry to hijack it a bit there. But
no, you're fine. You're absolutely fine. And that's good. That's fine. We'll go right into the story. Into the game itself, I guess, gameplay. Did you learn anything about the death industry playing this game?
Kind of.
I never really thought about what happens to unclaimed bodies I played this game. There's a homeless man that the city basically pays for his cremation. And then you're the only person at his funeral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I really liked that, honestly, because it was like we still have a funeral. We still have we still pay respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that given how a lot of unclaimed bodies are disposed of by different municipalities, it was really nice to have like a very respectful. Disposal in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have to say that the first time that that I embalmed a body, I kind of had a bit of a reaction. I can't really explain it. Like, I mean, it wasn't that I was like sitting there, like I wasn't crying, but it was unsettling. Definitely unsettling, but also like a bit emotional, but again, not crying, but just sitting there just like, like this, like almost like anxiety ridden for me a bit with the first one. And then like, you know, after that it became better, but with that first body, I was just like, it just really freaked out my mind a bit.
The fact that you have to massage the.
Yes.
Yeah. For lividity and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the other thing, too, that I found kind of rather sad is that a lot of states still don't have protections against the LGBTQ community in respects of trans people and how
they're treated.
Their bodies prepared and everything. And most parts, it's up to the family to decide what gender they're buried as.
Yeah. And that there was, I think that's like the one kind of choice that you have in the game is like whether you're going to bury.
Yeah, I passed on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I did as well.
I didn't pass.
It's I think the third or the fourth. Oh, you prepared the body? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was that? Like that.
Surprisingly the same as the others. Like it didn't have any.
There was no drama.
That was a weird one because like, while I was worried about it being maybe a little bit graphic, you know, like maybe like showing like, you know, having to do something that had to deal with that. But there wasn't anything. Like it was pretty much just preparing like another body. So, I mean, in a way, like, I was grateful for that, but then also in a way, I was like, you know, like, Like, how is this any different, you know, other than like knowing from reading the email? So, yeah, it was a weird kind of like fence of like, I kind of wanted something different, but then also like, I was like, okay, well, I'm kind of glad that, you know, because I definitely was a little anxious about it before going in. Well, I didn't really know about the green burials. I know I'm saying that word really weird. I don't know why, but I didn't really know about those until, I mean, I'm sure that I'd read them about them or heard it somewhere, but like going into some of the detail that the game did a bit, I wasn't aware. So that was definitely an educational experience. Did you wish that there were more choices in the game or more meaningful interactions with other characters?
Maybe more meaningful interactions at the memorial services. I mean, I guess it was making a point as well that a lot of times the memorial services just break down into those basic conversations and nobody really wants to deal with it.
And also that like you're basically the help. This service is not about you, so probably no one is going to talk to you unless there's a problem.
Right.
Yeah. It was interesting only hearing from most of your colleagues and stuff through email. But I'm sure that there are definitely, you know, there are all, you know, of course, like, especially in this day, you know, I mean, that's kind of a norm, but like, you know, that there was, supposedly, I mean, the game made you think that there was no one else in there with her, like during the day.
Yeah. Right.
That it was just her.
Maybe that was just to simplify things, but it definitely was interesting. I wish it would have given you like a chance to like maybe not type out a personalized reply to the emails, because that would be a different kind of engine, you know, thinking, you know, different thinking that they'd have, you know, programming that they'd have to do. But maybe to like, cause I know that like, you know, like with the one body preparation, you could choose whether you, you know, didn't do it or did it. You could do like canned responses to some of the owners when it was still a small business owners, emails, but if they would have given you more kind of like options with that, like they could have all meant the same thing. Like, yeah, I'll do it. Okay. Got it. But like, I don't know. Like I was like, oh, like a response would be cool. But being able to respond.
The
funerals were interesting. I kind of wish that, I guess like looking at it, like I understand why there weren't that many other like interactions with like the people in the funeral home. I mean, because you are kind of like an outsider coming in, and also given the circumstance, but I did enjoy the emails though. The emails were interesting, and I think that they were well done. Did y'all have any like? Of course, I always loved getting emails from Jen. Those were always fun. And of course, and it definitely, of course, you know, got interesting once like they started selling, you know, that, you know, unfortunately, you know, because of issues, they had to sell to the larger company. And that was, you know, a set. And it was interesting to see how like, you know, because like, I haven't been in that exact situation, but I've kind of been privy to those situations of like, you know, where a smaller company has to sell out to a larger company and the difference that, or even like working for small companies and then going to work for a larger company, seeing the difference in like how they communicate, you know,
their website layout too, like how,
drastically
changed.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I went and checked the website after they sold out, and it was very interesting.
Even in like the, even in the small difference of like, which I mean, it was kind of not a small difference, but in how the previous owner would send her the thank you emails from the clients, you know, even though they weren't addressed to Charlie, like she was like, oh, like you had a hand in this, so you should see this. And then once the larger company took over, you stopped getting that completely. Like there was not even an equivalent to that. And in fact, they berated you consistently for not ups, for not upselling, you know, when people wanted green burials and not trying to upsell them into something better and just letting them walk away because the larger company didn't do them because it was, it wasn't cost efficient. Like the wording and everything, like they did that really well of like going from that, like this show going from that like small business feel to the larger company feel. Because I definitely felt that it definitely like shivers down my spine of like, oh, like gosh,
this is corporate speak now.
It's horrible.
Not in, we're not in Oz anymore. We're not in Kansas anymore, I should say.
Yeah. Did you have any favorite body preparation tasks? I mean, it's a part of the game, y'all. It's a part of the game.
So I asked this question. I'll go first. I really liked the Cremulator because the way that they did their engine, whenever you're working just with the bones, it makes them all like, I don't know how to describe over audio, but like it makes them all like floopy, I guess.
Yes.
Like basically simulates how much lighter they are than you would expect.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, this is like, it's so weird. It's like I'm putting bubbles in a machine or something. I don't know.
I know what you're saying.
It was weird, but it was cool.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, that was fun. I guess maybe, I don't know. Like, I mean, I had at least favorite ones, and that was putting the caps in the eyes and putting the cotton in the mouth and sewing the mouth shut.
That freaked me out every time. Yep.
Which I mean, I don't know like how close to life that is. Like, you know, but I was like, God, like, and that was kind of like part of like the shock to me with that first body was that like I was like, I didn't realize what went into it. I was like, my God, like they have like, do they really have caps under their eyes? Like, is that how and like the cotton in the mouth? And I was like, man, like for something that like
the cotton in the mouth, I immediately went to Hocus Pocus when they brought what's his face back to life and he cut the stitching out of his mouth and like
just
dust came out of his
mouth. Yeah. Like it's interesting because like the, you know, when you go to wakes and you see it's an open casket, like that's what you want. Like you want it to look as good as it can. And just seeing like what goes behind that is like horrifying. I mean, to my mind, like I understand why and I understand it all. And I'm like, okay, like you want to puff up the cheeks. Like you want to look more lifelike because everything's a little sunken in a bit, but watching it, I'm just like, my God, like, I don't like this. I don't like it. Like, I don't like thinking of like the weird process that go into it. And seeing
an actual picture of those eye caps are just like absolutely.
Don't look it up.
Yeah, I'm not Googling searching that.
I wasn't searching it. I think it was like a Reddit post or something at one.
Oh God. Like,
oh, why did you post this?
Right.
Like, it's just it's not pretty to look at at all. It is not something you want to ever see.
I think we've covered everything. Is there anything else that y'all want to talk about with Mortician's Tale that we didn't cover?
It's fairly a little straightforward game or a little presentation. I almost want to just call it a presentation. It's not really a Yeah.
Not much.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right. A little bit. Well, we'll go into final thoughts and scoring for Mortician's Tale then. Frank, why don't you start us off?
All right. Just reiterating, it's an interesting, short way of presenting a very delicate subject and some of the things that go on, and it being pleasantly surprised that it's about some kind of based on somebody that I already followed on YouTube and stuff like that. But it, you know, the way it presents the material is fairly, what's the word? I don't want to say just like out there, not yeah, yeah, but it's just like, yeah, and it's matter of fact. It's like, yep. This yeah. is it. This is what happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way that's presented is an interesting, for nobody, you know, for somebody who's never had to, you know, to deal with it, it's, I don't know, an interesting way to present it, the subject to somebody. So, but it's not much of a game. So, but still, I'd give it, yeah, I'm going to end up in the same place, 7.5.
Okay. All right. Madeline.
I really liked how just through like basically walking you through the process of body preparation and kind of the workings of day to day funeral home. It just by doing a couple simple things, the game really teaches a lot about the death industry in the US. My one complaint with this game is that it wants to push for natural burial and green burial and stuff. Yeah. And personally, I am 100% down for all of that. But I know that like my grandfather cries every time he thinks of his brother being cremated.
Oh, yeah.
Because he can't separate from, in his mind, the idea of his brother's body burning.
Yeah.
I can understand that. Yeah.
And then like it's very much a part of my grandparents and everybody on my mom's side of the family. It's very much a part, like you go and see the body and you can touch their hands.
Yeah.
But it's not like we have them in the home and take care of them, which is home funerals are a whole other thing that we didn't really touch on in this.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is part of it. This is part of the way that culturally my mom's family grieves. And I think being open to that a little bit as well, or at least open to that conversation would be good as well. I know this is a short game and you don't have room to talk about everything in it. That would be my only complaint. And that's honestly very minor. So I'm going to give it, 8.5.
Okay. All right. Kevin?
I didn't get to play this one, but when I did watch it, it was I don't really remember a huge amount of detail, but it was an interesting and I assumed to be probably pretty accurate representation of what goes on in as a mortician. I'm gonna get scoring here.
Okay. All right. Chris, do you have any final thoughts of what you were able to experience?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have something that's, just matter of fact, and honest and respectful. Just not afraid to lay it all out there. I mean, I'm not going to score anything because I didn't play the whole thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go with an 8.5. It was a very simple game about what can be an unsimple subject to some people. I enjoyed the principle, and you know, very, and it's a very accessible game, And they made it interesting, even though it's just you in an office, you know, dealing with these bodies and checking emails. And, you know, I kind of wanted the game to be longer. I mean, it's great the way it is. But then, like, when it came to the end, I was like, oh, that's it? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But, you know, it was a good story, and it was a nice rounded story in that you saw kind of that where she first started out in the business, and as time passed, like, how she became better and was given a little bit more responsibility. And then, like, you know, the whole unfortunate, you know, selling of the small business to, you know, toward a larger company, and how that was different, and how that she was treated after that, and seeing how that also affected the other person that worked with her. The director of the, or no, he was
a funeral director as yeah. well. And I think he would also go and like pick up people.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seemed. Yeah. So, and how it affected him, and, you know, how he was kind of telling her to get out, you know, like, you know, you don't belong there. And then your emails from your friend, like, there's not much. There's really not anything that I'm like, I didn't like this about this game. So going with an 8.5. Well, thank y'all for playing those games. We're chatting about them. Next week, we're talking about Necro Barista, which is released back in August of 2019, developed by Route 59 and available on Switch, PS4, PC, and Mac. A little summary is, in a back alley cafe, the dead are granted one last night to mingle with the living. Necrobarista follows a dynamic and diverse cast of characters as they navigate Melbourne's hipstery coffee culture, which Google Docs is telling me is a... This is just from Steam, y'all. Like, it's saying it's not a word, but we're making it a word. The questionable ethics of necromancy and the process of letting go. And then after that, we start our, like, several week, like, extravaganza of Disco Elysium. So, all right. So if y'all want more game chat, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Podcast, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcast under The Game Chat for our past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us over on Twitter at @the_game_chat or over on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game, and we might just read it on the show. You can email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net or email us adorable pictures of dogs at thegamechat.net. So come back next week where we're talking about Necrobarista. So until then, thanks for listening, and we'll chat you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.